You're listening to Empire KVCR News. I'm Interim General Manager Alfredo Cruz. Most Fridays, we speak with former Press Enterprise columnist and longtime KVCR News contributor Cassie McDuff to review some of the big stories from around the Inland Empire over the past week. And she's here with us again today. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Alfredo.
Let's get started here in San Bernardino. The mayor just seems to keep having problems.
Right. As we know, the mayor has been accused of sexually harassing some of his employees and creating a hostile work environment. Now the most high-ranking of those former employees has come forward. His former chief of staff, a man named Matt Brown, has filed a claim, as the previous five employees have done, saying that he believes he lost his job in part because he refused to fabricate negative work performance reviews of two of the former employees who had accused the mayor of sexual harassment. He said he was stunned when the mayor asked him to refute their claims because he said he knew they were true because he witnessed them personally. He said the mayor seemed to enjoy mistreating employees. He belittled his staff in meetings, made fun of them by insulting their intelligence, called them low functioning, and made derogatory comments about their alma mater, Cal State San Bernardino. These claims are all included in a 10-page claim that Matt Brown filed. Now, the city has 45 days to respond, either to deny the claim or to settle with Brown. Some of the other former employees are now suing the city because the city did, of course, deny their claim. So we'll see what happens here.
Well, for some of us who didn't know anything about him in the past, there seemed to have been a sense of optimism when he was elected a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he certainly had the backing of a majority of the council members. That seems to have crumbled away a little bit. Mm. Now, the mayor has refused to discuss these allegations. He said he's going to wait for the results of an investigation that the city commissioned. Matt Brown said that he talked to the investigator, an attorney named Carla Barbosa, and shared with her all of his concerns, including what he termed Valdivia's unlawful behavior and retaliatory actions. And according to Brown's claim, he said nothing was done about it. And Brown was stripped of his duties gradually, and eventually his job was eliminated, the city said, because of the downturn in revenue due to the COVID-19 crisis.
Okay, well, let's hope this gets resolved equitably and soon.
Sure.
All right, let's move to Jodupa Valley. An environmental justice group is enduring some internal struggles.
Right. This is the Center for Community Action and Environmental Justice. It's been around since the 1970s. It was originally founded based on the Stringfellow acid pits. It drew attention to these places where dangerous chemicals were dumped in the ground and eventually leached into the groundwater, and advocated for cleanup of that site in Mira Loma. Eventually, it became an EPA Superfund site. And from there, the group expanded to advocating for environmental causes elsewhere, including San Bernardino, where there was a neighborhood, an impoverished neighborhood, impacted by a nearby rail yard and a bus refueling facility. And CCAEJ went to bat for them. Now, sadly, as you mentioned, this internal strife is going on. They're on their third interim executive director since the founding executive director retired a few years ago. Now, six employees, which is half of the organization's staff, resigned on July 24th. In the wake of concerns about what they called incompetence and misconduct and corruption and inability to overcome a toxic work culture after some of this turnover. Now, the first interim executive director was accused of sexual harassment and was let go. The second interim was demoted after she was accused of kind of using the organization's resources to help out her family rather than to help the public. And now they're on a third interim executive director. The board of directors has also lost some members during all this chaos, dwindling from 8 members to now 5 members. The board did not make a formal statement in response to these claims, but they did post a statement of support saying they were disheartened to lose their valued and trusted employees, but that they understand their decision.
So what do you think might be in the future for this group?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, nonprofits really struggle with having good, solid boards of directors and putting in place competent leadership because, of course, they can't afford to pay very much. And so, you know, it certainly is going to be a struggle to put things back together there. Hopefully, this most recent interim executive director will get a handle on things and be able to bring it under control. A couple of the former employees, you know, the ones who resigned, are now back on board. So maybe there's a little reason to be optimistic.
Let's hope so. A group of Upland residents is suing the city over a housing tract approved in a flood control basin. This doesn't sound very safe.
Well, it's interesting because this was a flood control basin that was originally controlled by Colony's Partners. We've talked about that organization several times recently. They had reached that $102 million settlement with the city, but this flood control basin, Colony's decided they don't really need that much capacity. It was about 20 acres. And they decided they could peel off about 9 acres, sold it to a different developer, and that developer now has a plan for 65 homes there. The residents say this is really a cherished area where people like to go for evening strolls, and they go for bird watching. They've seen egrets there and rabbits and other wildlife while walking on an elevated path around it. So the Planning Commission originally denied this application, but the city council in April reversed that and approved it. And so now this lawsuit is saying that, number one, the city didn't properly evaluate the environmental impacts of this housing development, and number two, didn't hold a proper public hearing because it was held, of course, in light of the pandemic, virtually. It was held online, and so people who don't have internet connections or didn't have telephones to phone in weren't able to participate. This is going to be a long process, of course. This is just the beginning, as the attorney for the group said. And so we don't even know exactly when the courts are going to be taking this up.
Thank you, Cassie.
Thank you. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, take care. Cassie McDuff is a longtime IE journalist who helps us out regularly on our Friday morning news wrap. You can find this and other segments on our website at kvcrnews.org. This segment made possible by the Southern California News Group, publisher of the Press Enterprise, San Bernardino Sun, Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, and other Southern California newspapers. I'm Alfredo Cruz.